హరే కృష్ణ. దామోదరాష్టకం వర్స్ 3. ఇతి దృక్స్వలీలాభిరానందకుండే సుఘోషం నిమాజంతమాఖ్యాపయంతం తదీయేషితగేషు భక్తేజితత్వం పునః ప్రేమతస్తం శతావృతి వందే. సో హియర్ దామోదర్, ఇన్ ద దామోదర్ లీలా, ది లీలా ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ద 2 వర్సెస్. సత్యవత్ ముని is not so much talking about narrating the leela in his trance. He is meditating on the beauty and the glory of the leela. And here now he starts his analysis. He is given some analytical sections earlier also, how the Lord is bound only by love, bhakti baddham. But now he goes more into a sweet and relishable analysis. So he says, iti druk swaleela bhir. Swalila, by one's own pastimes. Iti druk. Druk means to see or to make visible. Iti druk. So iti druk can refer to this particular pastime of the Lord, of He Himself becoming bound by Mother Yashoda, or it can refer to in general the childhood pastimes which is performing Gokula. So Gokule Brajamanam was earlier referred to. Iti druk. So in this way, actually, this pastime is extraordinary, but even the other pastimes where Krishna steals and Krishna hides and Krishna does all sorts of extraordinary things, they are incomprehensible, not just for the material intellect, but even for the religiously minded intellect. Now, when the Europeans came to India, and in their religion they had a conception of God who was high and mighty, a God who sits in the clouds and who sends down thunderbolts on the sinful and sends them down to hell to burn in the fires of perdition forever. So with this conception of God they came to India, and then they saw these beautiful images or beautiful depictions in the temple carvings and other places of this sweet little boy who had butter on his mouth and his one hand was in a butter pot, and they say, what is this? Who is this? Yes. What is he doing? So this is God and he's stealing butter. They just got intellectually short-circuited, just couldn't comprehend the idea. God as a small boy, how is that possible? And if God is a small baby, why does he have to steal? And if he has to steal anything, why butter? What is so special about butter? So actually the activities within Leela can be understood only by prema, by bhakti. Without a devotional vision, it can just be incomprehensible. It can make it seem entirely insensible also, absurd. The pastimes can seem, but when we see with the eyes of love, we see even in this world, a person may be a prime minister or a president, but when that president goes home, at that time he doesn't like all his intimate family members to call him president, call him prime minister. He would like them to address him by a pet name and deal with him purely based on affection. So that's how it is with the Supreme Lord. So, the Lord doesn't delight in the display of His Godhood, but delights in the reciprocation of love. And why does He have to steal anything? He doesn't have to steal anything. But when He plays the role of a child, He plays that role to perfection. And in that perfection, He acts as a mischievous child, because that mischief gives His parents and His devotees in the parental rasa the substance for their eminently relishable discussions, and not just for those devotees but for all devotees specifically, because he acts as a child and his parent, the devotee in the parental rasa, relish it enormously. So iti druk. And why does he have to steal butter? Actually, butter represents, just as milk is churned, then gradually it becomes butter. So like that, when our heart is churned, then it becomes soft like butter. Soft and relishable. So butter represents the efforts that the devotees are putting in to serve him. And when the devotee is putting that effort to serve him, prepare something for him, he can take it straight for them, but he steals it just to increase the excitement of the pastimes. Iti druk svalilabhi anandakunde. So kunda is like a pond. So we have Radha Kunda, we have Sham Kunda, extremely exalted places in Vrindavan. So there are many kundas, but here is a special kunda being referred to, Ananda Kunda, the pond of happiness. So what is the Lord doing by this? By displaying such pastimes, He's flooding and drowning His associates in streams and ponds and floods of happiness. Swaghosham nimajantam akhyapayantam. Swaghosham, he's declaring about himself. He's revealing about his own intimate, sweet, personal nature. Nimajantam akhyapayantam. Akhyapayantam. Nimajantam is flooding, drowning. Akhyapayantam, what is intimate relationship? And what is that revelation that he is giving? Tadiyeshita geshu bhaktairjitatvam. Tadiyeshita geshu. That those people who think of him in jnana, in an exalted mood of his greatness, tadiyeshita geshu. So those who are aware of his greatness in his form as Vishnu, where he is the controller of all controllers and is appeased by gigantic and majestic fire sacrifices. So he's telling them, Yeshita Geshu, that I am conquered Bhaktairjitatvam. I'm conquered by Bhakti and by nothing else. Bhaktairjitatvam. Alternatively, Sanatana Goswami gives another sweeter explanation of this. He says, Tadiya Ishta Geshu. So he says, Ishta Geshu, he says that those who know the greatness of his devotees, he reveals himself Swaghosham. He reveals his sweetness to those who acknowledge the greatness of his devotees. So, actually, the Viraja pastimes cannot be understood without understanding the greatness of the Vrajavasis. When the whole world prays to God, the Vrajavasis pray for God. The Vrajavasis pray for God. They do not think of God as God. They think God is just an eminently lovable cowherd among us. And they think God is Narayan. And because we are praying to Narayan, so Krishna is being protected. So those who understand the greatness of his devotees, to them his sweetness is revealed. Tadiyeshita geshu bhaktairjitatva. Bhaktairjitatva. He is conquered by nothing except bhakti. And in our life also, most of us, especially those who were born in the Hindu culture, in India in general, we have knew about Krishna, but Krishna was just a mythological or a historical character, just one part of the cultural landscape. We understood him as the all-attractive Supreme Lord when we came to know about his devotees, and through his devotees they revealed his greatness to us. So, tadiyeshita geshu bhaktairjitatva. Those who understand the glory of his devotees, he reveals his sweetness to them. And puna prema tastam shatavrti vande. Shatavrti, hundreds of times, shata sahasra, these are superlatives, they express again and again and again. I offer obeisances, puna prema tas, with love again. So just by remembering how the devotees love the Lord and how the Lord loves the devotees, love comes up in the heart of those who meditate on him also. Puna prematas, with love, shatavrti vande, shatavrti, hundreds of times. I offer obeisances. So Sanatana Goswami explains that this offering of obeisances hundreds of times is not in a mood of awe and reverence. Although in awe and reverence also we may say, oh, I offer obeisances again and again. In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says that I offer obeisances. Nama purastadta prishtataste namostute sarvata eva sarva sahasra krutva punascha bhuyopi namo namaste. he wants to offer obeisances to the Vishwarupa, but where will he offer obeisances? The Vishwarupa is everywhere. So Nama Purastad, I offer obeisances from front, from behind, from everywhere. And hundreds of times I offer obeisances. So in awe and greatness one can offer obeisances. But here Satyavrat Muni is offering obeisances out of spontaneous love. And obeisances is not an expression of reverence. It's an expression of appreciation of the pure devotion and the resulting emergence of pure devotion in the heart. That's why Puna Premata. So that one day is not out of Aishwarya, the one day is out of Prema. To such a Lord I offer obeisances again and again and again. So just as love is arising in the heart of Satyavrat Muni on meditating on the Lord's sweet pastime, similarly we can pray that, O Lord, let devotion arise even in my heart. Thank you.